Hello again, and welcome to the seventh and final story of the Campfire Story series this school year. It's been such a lot of fun finding and adapting these stories for you, and I thought that for our final story, it would be good to have one that included lots of familiar faces from the stories we've listened to this spring and summer. This is an Ojibwe legend called Run, Rabbit, Run, and it takes place in winter. So, if it's not too hot outside where you are right now, maybe make yourself a hot chocolate. Turn a blanket into a tent and get comfy. We're about to go on a race through the snowy woods in the great Canadian wilderness. It was late, very late in the winter, and snow still lay on the ground when our old friend Rabbit, the trickster, invited two friends to a maple syrup feast. The two friends were Kiunik, the otter, and Miko, the squirrel. As they happily licked the last of the syrup from their paws, they exchanged news. "Last night," said Miko the squirrel, "the moon looked into my den and woke me, and I heard wolves talking outside. I heard them offer our old enemy, the wild cat, many beautiful treasures if he would agree to kill somebody." "Really?" asked the rabbit with interest. "Who?" "Well, they didn't mention any name," said the squirrel, "but only spoke of him as a friend of Hoenyu, someone who's full of tricks, and someone who knows his way through the forest." "Whoever he is," said Kiunik the otter, with a frown darkening his face, "he's as good as dead, for that wildcat is a cunning tracker with absolutely cold blood. There would be no escape for those wicked claws and teeth." "A friend of Hoenyu?" mumbled the rabbit. "Well, it could be any of us." "Someone full of tricks?" remarked the otter uneasily. "Well, that could easily be me." "Ha!" snorted the rabbit. "You know very well I'm the one most full of tricks for miles around." And Kiunik couldn't deny it, for he had suffered much in the past from the rabbit's mischief. Miko gave a little shiver. "You know," said the squirrel, "when they spoke of one who knew his way through the forest, I couldn't help wondering if they meant me, for I can find my way through the trees better than most." "Nonsense," Rabbit snapped. "Anything a squirrel can do, a rabbit can do better. After all, I am Hoenyu's official forest guide, and his very good friend," he added proudly. "The thing is," said Kiunik the otter, his eyes fixed on the rabbit, "to find someone who fits all three requirements. Someone full of tricks, one who knows the forest, and one who's a friend of the Everything Maker." The rabbit jumped as if a bee had stung him. "Oh my, it is me! It is me the wildcat is after!" Kiunik tried to comfort the frightened rabbit. "We'll stand by you," he said. "Won't we, Miko?"
Yes, said the squirrel doubtfully, for he feared that even the three of them together would be no match for the ferocious cat.
"Well, thank you, my friends," said Rabbit, his heart warmed by their loyalty. "But I may not need your help. I have a plan." Miko, with one eyebrow raised, knew something of the success rate of Rabbit's so-called plans. He asked him dubiously what he had in mind.
"Strength and speed are on the wildcat's side, so I must rely on cunning," said Rabbit, and he grinned. The others looked at one another, fearful for their friend. "When a rabbit's skin falls short, he must borrow another's," Rabbit continued mysteriously. "Well, the wildcat's sure to come here to find me. I'm off." And the rabbit sprang into the air, landing a long distance from his lodge, so as to leave no track near his home. Rabbit kept jumping in this way until he thought he was out of scent and sight, then scampered away like the wind. Kiunik and Miko
scurried to a hiding place nearby and waited to see what would happen. They didn't have long to wait. Sure enough, as quiet as duck down landing on the surface of a still pond, the wildcat appeared, slinking along with nose to the earth, his yellow eyes gleaming and his great paws padding silently over the snow. Finding the rabbit's house empty, he snarled with a disappointed fury. However, taking the lodge for a center, he kept going round and round it, making each circle a little wider than the one before, until at last he found the rabbit's scent. He kept on circling until he reached the spot where the rabbit had stopped jumping. Then he swore by his twitching tail to catch the rabbit and kill him. He set out swiftly on a clear trail. As the day passed, the wildcat knew by the freshness of the track that he was overtaking the rabbit, but he did not catch sight of his prey while daylight lasted. As night fell, he came upon a wigwam all alone on the open marsh, and he poked his head inside. There sat the grave and dignified old fox, whose white hair stuck up oddly on either side of his head. When asked if he'd seen rabbit, the old fellow shook his head, but invited Wildcat to pass the night with him. "You can continue your search in the morning," he said in a helpful manner. So, being tired and hungry, the Wildcat accepted the invitation, and after a good supper, lay down by the fire and slept soundly. Towards morning, however, he began to shiver and feel most uncomfortable. Waking at last, he looked around in amazement. He was no longer in the warm lodge, but lying on the open marsh with snow blowing over him. Then the wildcat saw dimly the marks of a rabbit's feet and knew he had been fooled. The rabbit, artful at disguise, had masqueraded as the fox and had removed himself and the wigwam while the cat slept. Resuming the chase, in a great rage, the cat swore by his sharp teeth, as well as by his twitching tail, that the rabbit would be caught before nightfall. But when darkness came again, he had still not caught sight of the rabbit. Stopping at the first village he came to, which was that of a family of porcupines, he asked the first young porcupine he met if he'd seen a rabbit pass that way. "Hush," said the porcupine. "Can't you see we're listening to a storyteller?" Then the wildcat noticed that the whole family was gathered around the fire, listening to an old porcupine with white whiskers and oddly shaped ears. In the land of the Wabanaki, storytellers are greatly respected, and it's considered most impolite to interrupt him. So the cat was obliged to wait until the stories were over. Then he turned once more to the young porcupine. "But have you seen a rabbit?" "Hundreds of them," answered the porcupine impatiently. "They race about in the cedar swamp near here. You can eat as many as you want." "Those aren't the ones I'm after," complained the cat. "I want the rabbit, Hawenniu's forest guide." The young porcupine said he knew of no other sort of rabbit save the wild woodland ones, but perhaps the storyteller, who was old and wise, could tell him something. So the wildcat went to the storyteller and asked if he'd seen a rabbit pass by. "Rabbit?" the storyteller rattled his quills as he thought, and the cat moved back out of harm's way. "No, I've seen no rabbit. But, my friend, you look tired. You may pass the night here with me, if you like, in my lodge outside the village." The cat was glad of the invitation and went to sleep in a warm bed. Much later, he awoke, all a shake and a shiver in a wet cedar swamp, the wind blowing 10 times worse than the night before, and all around him the tracks of a rabbit. The wildcat sprang up more enraged than ever, and swearing now by his wicked claws, as well as by his sharp teeth and his twitching tail, to be revenged on the rabbit, he set out again on the trail.
He ran all day, and at night he came to another village, where there lived a tribe of bears. He was so weary, he could barely gasp out, "Have you seen a rabbit? The bears said they had not, but invited him to join in a feast with them. And when they had done eating, they politely asked him for a song. Now, the cat was very vain about his voice, and in the blink of an eye he stood in the middle of the lodge, clearing his throat. He lifted up his voice in a song of hate against rabbits. The bears applauded and invited him to join in the dancing. But the cat begged to be excused on account of his trail-weary feet and sat to one side, watching. Now one of the bears was smaller than the others, and his ears were somewhat longer than bears' ears normally are. However, he was a great dancer, and leapt higher in the air than any other. As he passed by the wildcat, he accidentally, it seemed, gave the cat a fierce kick, giving him a nasty cut across the forehead and knocking him senseless. When the cat came to, he found himself in a wigwam outside the village. A medicine man of the bear tribe was bending over him, and the cat noticed that he wore long white feathers on either side of his head. By now, the cat was growing more suspicious, and he looked at the medicine man with narrowed eyes. "I was asking if any rabbits had been seen around here lately," said the wild cat. "And truly, you look very much like one yourself. How did you get that split lip?" "Oh, that's very simple," said the medicine man, who, of course, you all know, was none other than the trickster rabbit himself. "Once I was making beads out of shell, and the stone on which I made them broke, and one piece flew up and split my lip." "But why are the soles of your feet so yellow, like a rabbit's?" "Simple again," said the so-called medicine man. "I was once preparing some medicine, and as I needed both hands to work, I held the herbs down with my feet, and it stained them yellow." Then the wildcat suspected no more, and allowed the medicine man to heal his cut with ointment, after which he fell asleep. But, alas, as you can guess, once more the unhappy cat awoke in dreadful misery, his head swollen and aching, his cut forehead more painful than ever. Now the cat swore by his lithe body and his fiery soul, as well as by his sharp teeth and his wicked claws and his twitching tail, to kill the next thing he met, be it a rabbit or any other. Forgetting pain and cold, he rushed off, triumphing when he found the track of a rabbit, very fresh. Evidently the rabbit, too, was tiring from the chase and could not be far off. Yes, there he was, just ahead. In fact, the rabbit had been obliged to stop short as he came to the edge of a broad river. The cat grinned with glee, for he knew that rabbits are no good at swimming. "You can't escape me now," he shouted. Poor rabbit, he could run no further. Far away, on the misty summits of the high hills, Hawenniu saw all that happened and knew the rabbit had done all he could by himself. The everything maker began to smoke his pipe very hard, puffing black rings into the blue sky, where they changed at once into birds. Down in the forest, the rabbit had turned, backing away from the wildcat, who was preparing to spring, when suddenly, down from the sky, hurled a great flock of giant hawks, screaming their war cries. The wildcat snarled and turned to meet them, but there were too many of them, and they beat him with their wings and swiped at him with their talons, until at last, screaming with dismay, the cat turned tail and fled into the forest, where to this day he's running still. Trembling with fright, the rabbit sank down to rest at last. He was not half so sure of himself as he had been when he started out, for he knew that, were it not for the hawks, he would have been a dead rabbit.
A flute was playing far off, and the rabbit listened. Then he knew who had sent the hawks to him in the nick of time.
"Thank you, Hoenyu," he whispered.
The everything maker, far off in the high hills, nodded and played a triumphant tune to the returning birds. And there you have it, the end of our story. I do hope you've enjoyed listening to this series as much as I've enjoyed recording them. I'll see you in the autumn. And meanwhile, have a fantastic summer. Read lots of stories of your own, and maybe write a few to share with us when Four School returns in September. Until then, all the best.